The holidays are quickly approaching. Don't wait until the last minute to get a gift. Head over to giftingmap.com today. Giftingmap.com. You're listening to Pushing the Odds on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the CG Sportsbook inside the Palms Casino Resort in Las Vegas, powered by O'Reilly Auto Parts, here's your host, Matt Perrault.
It is Pushing the Odds, SB Nation Radio, live inside the CG Technology Sportsbook. Let's head to the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans hotline. The Raiders are in, well, turmoil would be one word to use it. To describe it, Levi Damian, the editor-in-chief for Silver and Black Pride, SBNation.com, joining us here on Pushing the Odds. Levi, Matt Perrault, how are you?
Pretty good.
So when you're hearing from Raider fans, and you're writing articles on the site, you're covering the team, what's the overall fan opinion in Oakland right now about where the Raiders are?
Well, I'd say it's a little bit fractured, which happens to be the word that was used to describe the report about Derek Carr's relationship with the team. I'd say there's a fractured relationship among the Raider Nation as well. There are those a lot of people are angry, but it just kind of depends on who you're angry at. Either you're angry at the people who would dare say that there are serious issues with the Raiders, or you're angry at the Raiders themselves for the creating of these issues, whether it be John Gruden or otherwise. I mean, it kind of starts with him at this point. So
the Derek Carr story is interesting because, you know, NFL locker rooms, this is the most macho of macho places, and it feels like, and some people are saying that men should be comfortable showing their emotions, and I am all for that, but it feels different. This is not guys showing their emotions. This is someone who maybe became overwhelmed on the football field and was hurt and didn't like being hit and wasn't comfortable with what was happening to him on the field, and maybe that's why his teammates aren't that happy with Derek Carr. How do you see this storyline, and what's your opinion of the players talking without putting their names to the quotes?
Well, as far as talking without putting your name to the quote, that's kind of like a hallmark of journalism, right? You don't really get the truth when your name is on it about 99% of the time. Journalism is based on the ability to have anonymous sources and those be trusted sources, and you being a trusted journalist to take those sources and, you know, translate them to the public. And so I tend to believe anonymous sources more than I believe the ones who aren't anonymous, because the ones who are going to stand in front of the media, or that the team would put in front of the media, they're going to toe the company line. They're going to say what they're supposed to say. They're going to support their teammates. And that's not to say that, like, for instance, Lee Smith yesterday, that's not to say he's not being 100% honest. I believe he was being honest. I believe that's the way he sees it. But that's the thing, is that different people see things different ways. And I think from Lee Smith's perspective, there's no issue. But I think from other teammates' perspective, there is an issue. And I think that's, you know, it goes right back to that word fractured. There's a divide. Mm-hmm. There's some people, you know, some teammates feel one way and other teammates feel another. And when you have a team that's, you know, every different direction, you can't focus and come together, you're going to have bad football, essentially what you're going to have. And that's what we've seen from the Raiders lately.
Do you believe this team is tanking?
Yes. Yes, I do. I think the one question is, you know, people have been kind of pondering whether did John Gruden come to this team thinking this is a team that I can bring back to its 12-4 record, probably 12-3 if Derek Carr hadn't got, 13-3 had Derek Carr not gotten hurt. And then once he really looked at the team, decided, oh, I guess I was I've been up more than I can chew, and we should probably start a rebuild. Or did, you know, I mean, because if that was the case, then that would say, well, maybe that's why they traded Khalil Mack, because Gruden had already decided this team is not going to go where I need it to go anytime soon, so let's start gutting it right now. Or was it a situation where the Khalil Mack thing was just kind of like part of this? Like, he still had the he thought that losing Khalil Mack wasn't going to be a major problem. If it was more important to him to get the picks, more important to him to not have to pay the money to him, and that they could still be competitive in the short term and you know, already have the pieces in place. And if that were the case, then, you know, you'd get to the point where you see a 1-5 team that's completely collapsing, and then you see, okay, let's start shopping the players, because I think at very least the tank began last week.
Yeah, I agree.
At very least. It might have been before that, but at very least it began last week.
I agree. And some of the comments, look, I'll give you my opinion on what I think this team is doing. I think that they are burning it down to the studs, and I think that this is about becoming a quality, or at least a competitive football team in 2020 when the stadium opens up here in Vegas. And that makes next year very awkward and very difficult for the Raiders. And I don't blame a single Raider fan that wants nothing to do with this team, because they are leaving and because they are now going to go out the door with nothing but losses. And they've got 3 first-round picks in the 2019 draft, the 2 first-round picks in 2020 now, and that leaves Derek Carr. According to John Gruden, he doesn't anticipate trading Derek Carr before the deadline, but they save $15 million in the offseason for the 2019 cap if they cut him. Do you believe Derek Carr is the quarterback of this team next year?
Oh, you know, that's a question I've been asking for a little bit. And my answer has been that it depends a lot on what happens from here to the rest of the season. Now, granted, we're talking about a team that is gutted, and it's probably going to be more gutted before all said and done. But you can still see, amidst that, you can see if by the end of the season, his last 10 games, if Derek Carr is going to be the guy that can lead this team. You should see progress. You should see things that signs that he's picking things up and he's able to be competitive even with a bit of turmoil around it. Let's put it that way. And I honestly wouldn't be surprised if he wasn't the quarterback next year. But at this point, I'd say it's right around 50-50.
This week, home game against the Colts, open as a pick. People are flooding here in Vegas to favor the Colts. Now it's -3 for Indianapolis. If this game gets ugly for Oakland this weekend, what's the fan reaction in the stadium?
You mean like games after that, or you mean like the during this particular game?
Yeah, if they're down 14-0, 21-0, if things are really bad for them to start this game right out of the gate and they're getting slammed, no Khalil Mack, no Amari Cooper, teammates revolting on their quarterback, and everything falls apart, you know, are fans just booing this team off the field?
Oh, well, yeah, they're certainly going to be booing. I mean, we saw in their last game, the fans were. I mean, even though they ended up pulling that one out, it got pretty ugly early on, and that place, it went from loud boos to very quiet at some point in that game, like in the third quarter, and then, of course, it all turned around, and they were able to take it to overtime and get their only win of the season. But but yeah, this team, I mean, these fans are not going to put up with, at least in the moment. They'll probably talk themselves into it after the game, which a lot of them tend to do. They try to find the bright side because they don't see an alternative to that. But during the game itself, there's going to be a lot of raw emotions, and we got to consider the Raiders are playing a 2-win team in the Colts, a game that, you know, coming into the season and even through you know, even up to now, or especially through last week when they were a 1-win team, people were, you know, the thought process was, hey, the Raiders are losing a lot of games, but they have a stretch of games here where they're playing like 3 out of 4 games, starting with this Colts game, against teams that, as of last week, until Colts got that second win, were all 1-win teams. You know, you got the Cardinals and the 49ers upcoming. So the Raiders fans are thinking, well, they've put up all these losses, but they could conceivably kind of turn things around by beating up on bad teams. But if they get beat up by other bad teams, there's going to be a lot of really upset fans at that.
Levi, in 2019, what are you hearing? Where are the Raiders playing football?
I think they're still going to be in Oakland, only because I think it'd just be because I think you guys know that there's no option for them in Vegas.
Yep.
So the only option that's been put out there is San Diego,
mm-hmm.
and I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility. That's perfectly, of course, it's an NFL ready stadium, and there is plenty of fans in Southern California. And if they're talking about like being a team that can exist anywhere in a wide radius from Southern California to Northern California to Nevada, there's that wouldn't be out of the realm of possibility. They'd probably do fairly well down there. But, you know, there's a lot of difficulties involved in that. I don't foresee these lawsuits that Oakland is talking about having against the Raiders going anywhere, and that's where the threat lies. It's like, if you guys sue us, we're leaving a year early, but I don't necessarily see those lawsuits gaining any traction. Therefore, they just kind of play out their last season in Oakland and before moving. That's what I think that's very likely to be the case. But like I said, if it came down to San Diego, that is not an entirely bad choice. The fans in Southern California would certainly enjoy having the team play a season down there for old time's sake.
Yeah, that's my prediction, too, as to where they're going to be next year. Again, Aaron, this is Levi. In terms of John Gruden as a talent evaluator, I'm curious your opinion on him, because this is like a college rebuild in my mind. This is what Scott Frost is doing at Nebraska. He's got a huge, you know, long-term deal. He is the coach for the foreseeable future, maybe the next 10 years in Lincoln. Same thing for John Gruden, 10-year deal, $100 million. He's not going anywhere, so he has ultimate job security. We never see this in the NFL, where a coach can literally tank 2 years and keep his job because winning right now is not the number one priority for the Raiders. But how do you feel about Gruden, the talent evaluator, not the coach, but do you think he's the right guy to be calling the shots here for 5 first-round picks in 2 years?
I don't. There's just no evidence to suggest that he has the personnel evaluation skills to build a team. We know that when he went to Tampa, he won the Super Bowl essentially with Tony Dungy's team. And the funny thing is that being an offensive guy, that team won from its defense, from the strength of its defense. And there's a stat that I've seen a couple times where in his entire career, as far as drafting during, I think in Tampa, because you can't really say, his record in Oakland drafting, because as we know, when he was in Oakland, it was Al Davis who was calling the shots for those draft picks. So you're talking about in Tampa, he had 3 Pro Bowlers in his entire time. I think it was 7 years he was in Tampa as the head coach, and 3 Pro Bowlers. And, like Aqib Talib was one, and there was a couple other guys that had like 1 Pro Bowl each or something. And it's a rogues gallery. That team went from a Super Bowl team with Tony Dungy's players to just kind of like the mediocre pretty quick. And he has all these picks, and I just you look at what happened in the draft this year, and I saw a lot of desperation happening, just trading all over the place. That trade down in the first round, not getting proper compensation. And what you need in situations like that, as much criticism as Reggie McKenzie gets for some of his picks and stuff like that, which he's had a lot of failures as well. That's make no mistake about that. But he had patience. I mean, you look at the way that they got Khalil Mack and Derek Carr in that draft is by not doing anything, by standing pat and waiting. They didn't panic and try to jump up. And as John Gruden in that draft wanted the Raiders to do, to jump up and get Johnny Manziel. Now, can you imagine if he was running the Raiders then, how disastrous that would have been. Not only are you taking the wrong quarterback, but you're trading up to get the wrong quarterback. And I could definitely have foreseen that being the case had John Gruden been in charge. So it's kind of a scary thing to think that he's going to be in charge of all these draft picks.
Right. Levi, good stuff. Appreciate the time today.
No problem, guys.
That's Levi Damian, editor-in-chief, Silver and Black Pride, joining us on the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans hotline. Here talking Raiders football. More to come. It's Pushing the Odds, SB Nation Radio.